Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
By Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We're broadcasting live today, guys, on a Wednesday from Flowery Branch. We're going to get you caught up on all the latest Falcon news. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
Bo Morgan producing the show. Sam Tarley, Brian Gephardt back at the studio, our engineer. And, Mike, I want to start this Falcon Report, which is brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, man. Large three-topping pizza, $7.99. It's carry-out only, guys, but it's good every night of the week. You know what? Don't just get one. Get a bunch of pizzas. Make it a pizza party. Watch your favorite sports this weekend.
With some news about one of our running backs. And before we let you hear from Ryan Schrader and Alex Mack, our starting center, and Mike and I also talked to Calvin Ridley, just brief conversations, guys, as we're chopping it up with guys in the locker room, trying to get a feel for what's going on. And you'll hear those coming up here. Devontae Freeman missed practice today with a foot injury. Now, this comes after he already, of course, played in Pittsburgh, but he missed three games with that knee contusion
right
after the Eagles game. And as I just tweeted out, I put him up, C. Dukes, and we invite you to follow us. He is Mike Bell, ATL. The radio station is 929 The Game, and, of course, the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. I'm starting to think something's up here because Free has been hurt, Mike, for most of the season.
Well, again, I mean, is this a foot injury or is this a pass protection tisk? I don't know. You and I talked about this yesterday, and you know we're big supporters of Free, but now this contract, the deeper we go into this season, we're beginning to wonder what the heck's going on here because you got a big commitment to the guy, and you're not getting the bang for the buck on it. Coleman, does the offense flow better when Coleman's in there, or is it just me?
No, it does.
Everybody missed blitzes in this game,
yes,
but it just seems to flow a little better. Although Free did have the 20-yard run in the game against Pittsburgh.
Well, and then after that, it was nothing, right? But it was nothing pretty much for no one. This question has been asked to us from various Falcon fans and listeners of our show about, guys, do you see what I see? Or are you thinking the same way? And it's what Mike just talked about. Here's what I think has happened with Coleman getting more reps leading after the injury to Free, and especially to start the season. Mike, he's more decisive with his decisions with his cutting, okay? So you got the zone blocking scheme going on, and let's just say we're running to the right-hand side, guys, and everybody's moving that way. Coleman, to me, this year seems like he has gotten into this groove of I'm moving, I'm cutting and going. And Free at times, not all the time, has this thing where he'll bounce around and try to make things happen in there where that might not be there. The 20-yard run was different, but we've gotten this. And I'm not going to disagree with guys who say, man, the offense just seemed like it was flowing better with Coleman. Maybe it was.
Well, again, whether this is not that somebody's going to fudge an injury, especially when you got a guy making $8 million a year, but all right, Free with a foot injury. We'll see where this goes. We get the impression that Grady Jarrett, our gut tells us he's not going to play, but this is going to have to wait till later in the week right now with Grady and that ankle injury. We'll get the full injury report here coming up, and D-Led will join us later. One of the things that's interesting today, Tack McKinley, and a lot of reporters huddle around Tack, and D-Led had a great blog about Vic and Tack not against the Steelers starting on the defensive line because they had the two tight end set, so they didn't have the personnel, which I think Falcon fans want to see on the field, but perhaps didn't match up against what the Steelers were doing in the run game, so that gets Brooks Reed out there. We had a couple of reporters asking, Tack, like, well, he didn't get a chance to get Ben on the ground. I felt like saying, yeah, because he wasn't on the field.
That's right. He wasn't.
And Tack was cool with it. But there's so many things right now in which you leave you scratching your head as a Falcon fan. It can all get corrected. We get a win. It'll all be kumbaya on Monday, and we'll be ready to rock and roll against a Giants team, which is also beatable. But, man, having a hard time with blocking, picking up blitzes, having a hard time with our guys tackling and communicating and picking up the scheme, which we thought was going to be, correctable. And Dan, by the way, Dan was not sugarcoated today in the press conference either.
Not at all. He talked about the block punt. Inexcusable, his words. I mean, it just can't happen, and it's happened twice now. Here's the thing that was disturbing to me, because I didn't get a chance to really watch the film from the standpoint of what happened on the block punt. Dan Quinn's like, it wasn't even a scheme thing. They didn't run any crazy stunts. Guys just didn't pick up their responsibilities. That kind of stuff can't happen. But I will give Coach Quinn credit where he, Mike, is adamant about the fact that he feels like these things can get fixed and feels like this team, can and will get to where they need to be. Mike and I had a quick moment with Alex Mack, our starting center. Guys, you guys know there was a pre-Alex Mack, prior to Alex Mack, and then there was, you know, the time after. Prior to Alex Mack, you know, we had two seasons where we couldn't even get the ball to Matt Ryan. Alex Mack comes in. He's been a stabilizer in that offensive line. But the O-line as a whole really, really took a step back last week as they struggled with the blitz packages. And we asked Alex Mack, what was up with all the sacks last week?
A couple of them were, you know, just they had a good scheme against our play action stuff, and, you know, they got a guy on the edge, and, you know, we try to have a long down the field plays that just, you know, kind of caught on. You know, we got down behind late in the game, and you have to throw it a lot, and they aren't going to blitz. So we got to, you know, step up and make a couple better plays there. And at the same time, if you're running the ball better, if the game's a little closer, you can't. Teams have to play a little bit more honest.
You're familiar with Tampa Bay. Obviously, they got a pretty physical front. Can you run the ball against these guys on Sunday?
It's going to be a big challenge for sure. They got a fair number of new guys up there, and they're all really talented. They got a really good, solid front, and it's going to be, you know, a ground and pound kind of day if we want to get it done.
Every week, though, you see those big monsters up front, right? I mean, you see those guys. It doesn't matter every week, and you're like, you know, damn, what's your approach when you see those guys? I mean, it seems like every team has, you know, those big DTs down there.
Every team in the NFL, every team's going to have someone really good on their team in the front. But you just got to keep, you know, doing what you need to do. We practice all the time against really good guys on our team. And if you work on your technique and you kind of focus on the small details and everyone does their job in the run game, things should open up. And if they're really doing a really good job of stopping that by just loading the box, there should be some stuff in the pass open behind them.
It's Pro Bowl center Alex Mack with us here on 92.9 The Game. You know about adversity with your background in Cleveland. I mean, the good news is the NFC is still wide open if we can just get that win.
Early in the year, we have a lot of talent on this team. I think taking it one day at a time, one game at a time is the key.
How do you feel physically, Alex, at this point in your career, man? Because when you got here, obviously, you know, it's been a couple of years now, and people are like, oh, Alex is still one of the best at this position, and we certainly believe that. How do you feel?
Feeling pretty good. You know, it definitely, as you get older, it takes a little bit more work to stay feeling good, and I'm learning that, but I still feel like I'm, you know, playing pretty well.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
It is Alex Mack, guys, early to locker room. Again, only one radio station is live here at Falcons, and that is your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Also today, we got a chance to talk to Calvin Ridley. Now, Calvin, obviously, after the huge touchdowns and the big catches, wasn't the big factor, and we were asking him a bunch of things about what happened in Pittsburgh.
The thoughts, especially on his individual success, because we've talked about it. He leads our squad, at least the receiving corps, with touchdowns.
Just coming in here and getting better with the guys, and, you know, coaches, you know, the guys in the receiver room helping me get better. And, you know, I just, you know, the focus I got, I want to help the team win, and that's pretty much my mindset, win. And that's, I mean, I feel like that'll lead to all good stuff.
Steelers had a plan. With their time center, you're downfield, and you're like, I'm here, and then Matt's on the ground, or Matt's getting pressure, or just tip your cap to the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are better than that, but I tip my hat. And I said out there, I was like, man, they got a, you know, pretty good scheme going on. We really really having a hard time with them. So, yeah, I was like, man, I like good football. It was a pretty good scheme. They did a great job. I mean, we obviously could be better, but, you know, we got to move on.
Now, we're here with Calvin Ridley, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. You, you know, with the touchdowns, I'm curious, are you planning any celebrations, or everything that you're doing is just natural? When it happens, it's what you react.
One of them I planned. I was, you know, having fun in here one day and started doing a little dance and seen it on Instagram, and then I was like, I'm going to try that. But, yeah, the rest of them are just, you know, freestyle and just go. And I like I said, I take one play at a time, do my best to help the team.
Take your mind off the Falcons. You get to watch your brother playing for the Dogs. You got any advice for Riley?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, be consistent. That's the biggest thing. Go out there, do what you know you can do. Don't, you know, overthink it. Just be consistent. That's the best advice.
Well, man, we continue. Hope you continue success. I know, like you said, you guys are going through it right now, but you're going to come out of this funk here and get some W's. So, Calvin, appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I asked him off the air. There was another media scrum before we got a chance to get our own little thing with Calvin going. I said, when's the last time you lost three games in a row? He said, Little League. Because obviously, if you're playing at elite high school and you played Alabama, and then you're not losing three games in a row anywhere. So, again, it's just and like you hear the excitement and the enthusiasm, but he said, man, that Steelers had a plan.
They did. You know? They did. And I think, you know, when you talk about the Eagles game, and I'm going to specifically talk about the Eagles and the Steelers game, those two defenses are probably, you know, built and scheme-wise do different things that we're not going to see from other teams. And they've got players to make it happen too, Mike. So, you know, Matt was hit. The quarterback hurries and all that stuff played a role in both of those games. Remember the Eagles game and how much pressure he was under and duress. And then last week, the sacks and trying to get the ball out. We also got a chance, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. We're going to give you a chance to win some money coming up here in about 6 minutes. So stay tuned for that. Ryan Schrader. Now, we've talked about this O-line, all right? And you guys know with the injury to Andy Levitre, right, and how things have been shuffled around. But Schrader is a guy that's gotten a lot of playing time also. And, you know, we asked him, was it a scheme issue or was it simply players missing their assignments up front, the lack of protection from Matt Ryan?
I think it was a little bit of everything. You know, they did some things we didn't think they were going to do. You know, some of it was technique, some of it was scheme. But at the end of the day, you know, we gotta take care of business. I mean, there's no excuses. You know, we're looking forward to this week coming out, and we're gonna handle some business. So we got to fix our mistakes, which we have in film, and go out here and practice and get better.
Ryan Schrader says they're going to blank some stuff up. I just heard him.
I like the sound of that. No, you guys had great traction against the Panthers in the run game. Could get the run game back on track. It's another pretty good front you got with Tampa Bay this week.
Yeah, you know, we're excited to be back at home. You know, it's a little bit easier to run the ball at home, you know, be able to use the snap count to our advantage, and we're excited.
The balance. I know Coach Quinn talks about that, running the ball, obviously being balanced. And he says, you know, we still haven't really accomplished that, I guess. And I guess that is dictated by the game. Obviously, you're down, you're trying to throw the ball a little bit more. But that's important to this offense, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, no matter the situation, you know, if we got to pass the ball, we got to protect and take care of, you know, that. And, you know, we like to obviously run the ball. That sets up everything else, play action and the movement passes and stuff, and get to where we can wear people out. And we want to get back to doing that again. So.
It's Ryan Schrader with us here in the Falcons locker room. I mean, dumb question, but I'll throw it at you. Is there any difference in your approach in zone blocking, no matter who's back there toting the rock, whether it's, you know, Ito or whether it's Tevin or Free?
No, that's a good question. But, you know, all these backs, they're really good at reading the gaps. And we're starting to get a decent feel. You know, obviously Free and T. Cole, but Ito's really come on strong. You know, obviously this first part of the season, and we're excited to have those three guys, you know, fresh, and they're gonna tear it up.
Ryan, do you feel like you guys need to be more, you know, the physicality up front, being more physical, you know, more resolve? Have you guys talked about that, or has that come up?
You know, that's what we go for. You know, some games, obviously, like last game, we weren't able to get as physical as we wanted. We want to change that, you know, and come out and be physical, because that, you know, that wears guys down. You know, when you get to passing the ball, they don't rush as hard when you're on them in the run game. So it makes a big difference.
Appreciate the time, man. Good luck this week.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
All right, man, talking to Ryan Schrader, and a guy that he's always been gracious with his time with us. And we'll tell you more about what's going down with D. Led, who will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Is he get a chance to talk to Matt Ryan while we were on the air today?
Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Office. Mike, did you watch The Office, by the way?
Yeah, I always got a kick out of The Office.
Yeah, I like that show. It was fun. That's the code word, guys. O-F-F-I-C-E. Office is the word.
All right, hopefully your office is stress-free. Office, guys, gets texted to 72881. Good luck with that bad boy. If you're new to the station, you're new to us, where you been? $1,000, we do it, starting with frickin' John all the way to 7 o'clock with us. But this hour, the word is office. Text that to the number 72881. Then look for a phone call. Answer it. You could be winning.
Coming up next, it's the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, Wes Truham.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
Guys, we are live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. As we mentioned, as we started the 5 o'clock hour, Freeman did not practice today. It's a foot injury, so Devontae Freeman held out. We knew Grady Jarrett was going to be held out. Coach Quinn talked about that. He says he'll probably know more about Grady tomorrow. With that, Mike, let's welcome in the voice of our Atlanta Falcons,
Wes Truham. That's Wes Durham, guys. And all right, big fella, we got the consensus, Wes, talking in the locker room and talking to the players. Pittsburgh just came with a plan, and boy, did they execute it.
Absolutely. I mean,
you know, especially T.J. Watt. I mean, I thought they did a really good job in the 3-4 of sending that fourth guy from different places. But T.J. Watt found a seam seemingly just about every time. He was the guy on the blitz and, you know, really caused a problem. And, you know, it was reflected in a lot of different ways. Obviously, the pressure that was on Matt most of the day, six sacks don't happen, you know, without something like that going down. But Atlanta really struggled on third down and kind of struggled to get any kind of rhythm offensively. And yet, you know, until the better part of the ball game, they had some chances there until the, middle of the third quarter. And I thought when Pittsburgh put that early score on the board in the second half, that was going to be an uphill fight for Atlanta. And they may have missed an opportunity at the end of the first half, too. So we'll see, though. I mean, now you got a chance to get back home and hopefully against a team that that you might be able to take advantage of on Sunday. We'll see.
Well, speaking of taking advantage of, Wes, their defense statistically is not good. And, you know, game to game, obviously things can change. But right now, I mean, they're having a tough time stopping anybody.
Yeah, they are. Carl, especially in the hit that last in the league, and it's an ugly number. I mean, it's almost 360 yards. And then the scoring numbers on 35 a game. But you remember in week one, everybody got all, you know, crazy because they beat New Orleans, but they beat them in an arena football game, you know? I mean, it was like a 65-59 game. I mean, it just felt like they were scoring all over the place. And I've been reading some stories from down there this week. They've made some transaction moves, nothing hugely impactful, but they're having a hard time. They're having a real hard time. And, in fact, they did make one change in their depth chart. They're going to start the rookie in the secondary, the kid Jordan Whitehead from Pittsburgh, who Dave and I saw in college in the ACC, who's a highly decorated kid out of high school, had an ice cream hit. But he's going to start at one of the safeties with Justin Evans. And if you look at their secondary, I mean, Grimes was taken out of the ball game in Chicago 2 weeks ago. And they put N.J. Stewart in the game for a while, and then they put Ryan Smith in the game. But if they start Ryan Smith instead of Brent Grimes, they're going to start two rookies, a second-year guy and a third-year guy in the secondary here on Sunday. Now, look, Atlanta's got issues of their own, but I'll say this. You better find a way to get pressure on the quarterback because it might be a feeding frenzy in the secondary if you start that kind of inexperience out there on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz.
Right. We saw Julio get the better of that rookie you just mentioned when he was a rookie, Ryan Smith.
Yeah.
It's Wes Durham with us, by the way, on the WadeFord.com hotline as we're live at Flowery Branch. And the thing, Wes, we were talking about this earlier off the air. You know, Smitty, it's not like he's going to look at what Pittsburgh did and try to do what they did. He generally stays with his system, which, I mean, called stubborn, being stubborn. But, man, I think we should be obviously able to score in the passing game. But they're good against the run, are the Bucs.
Yeah, Mike, but it's also a different package, too. I mean, Smitty runs a four-man front. Pittsburgh runs a three. I mean, there are just some nuances like that. But you got to remember, too, the guys up front, I mean, Gerald McCoy is obviously a big-time player, and they've done well. They added Vinny Curry and Bo Allen from Philadelphia. And Peter Paul apparently told the Tampa media today in the open locker room down at One Buck Place that nobody can block him. So, apparently, Lawrence Taylor liked coming in here on Sunday. You know, I don't know. Jason became very verbose this week about his ability. So, sounds like a challenge for Schrader and Jake Matthews and whichever side the JPP wants to line up on. And, you know, I think they're probably, if I'm Tampa, I'm probably here tired of hearing how bad the defense is. And all indications are that Winston's going to start. But right now it's Peyton Barber out of Milton High School who's running the ball for him. And they still got Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. The one thing I will say this about this, DeSean Jackson has had an incredible propensity for the huge play here early in the year. I mean, he had a 75-yarder in the first game. He had another one in the next game. And since then, they've been trying to dial in deep, it seems like, every time I look up. So that and those tight ends again, Mike. Here we go with tight ends one more time. I mean, O.J. Right. Howard and Cameron Brate on Sunday. So Atlanta's going to have their hands full, too. But the Falcons need to find, you know, their balance offensively and defensively as much as Tampa does for sure.
It is Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, guys. The run game for us, it's been a struggle at times. And I don't know if you heard this yet, but Free today misses
practice. Free practice, right.
Yeah. I don't know, Wes, if that means he, you know, plays or doesn't play. We still got a lot of time before the game, but what do you think of what has transpired as a team that, you know, wants to be balanced in our Falcons, but we've struggled to be balanced?
Well, Carl, there have been moments now. I mean, even in the loss with New Orleans, and although it was harder against New Orleans than it was against Cincinnati, you kind of fought yourself a little bit in the run game. But the combination of the two guys, when Devontae went down after opening night in Philadelphia, I thought Coleman and Ito Smith kind of developed a yin and a yang, if you will. You know, mm-hmm. they were both in there. They could both give you something. The advantage of having Freeman, if we can get, 24 back on the mend here, mm-hmm. and get him to 100%, I still think there's a place in this world for he and Tevin together
right.
in the backfield, and what it could ultimately mean to what Atlanta does offensively. But without him, you're going to have to kind of find ways to run the ball, whether you run it with a one-back set or you bring Ortiz in or you line up a, Logan Paulson like an H-back and move him, that kind of thing. But I thought they'd done a pretty good job out of the five ball games. I think three times they found at least something. Certainly opening night in Philadelphia, maybe, you could argue the New Orleans game, and then maybe Sunday, the way the game was in the second half, you almost had to try and throw it because you were trying to give yourself a chance offensively. But there's no doubt if you get Devontae, it helps you. But you also, once you get him, you got to find a balance because I will say this, Tevin and Ito Smith have taken advantage of the opportunity. I mean, I think that those guys have done a pretty nice job. I mean, Tevin's had 27 in the ball after 5 weeks, and, Ito has given you a couple touchdowns in each of the last two games. So there is some productivity there, but you'd certainly like to have Freeman as well.
Wes Durham with us, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Carl and I were live here at Falcons. D-Led's going to join us a little bit later, talk more about the game, too.
Yes, I am, Mike.
and oh, by the way, Wes, you'll love this. He started talking to Dirk Cutter on the conference call about, what the Steelers were running against us offensively, and Cutter's like, oh, that's kind of next level, D. I'm going to have to take a look at that. So he might be mocking
Great.
The enemy
well,
with some
good,
game plan.
Yeah.
Not being tongue-in-cheek. But here's the thing. I'll tell you my concern. If you got we already laid out some things you're worried about in the game. What about if Jameis, who doesn't want to run, he wants to throw from the pocket, but as we've seen guys go for a sleigh ride with him as the reindeer, it's tough to get down. And with the way we tackle, what happens if the big fella gets in the open field?
Well, there's no question Atlanta has to be better at tackling. We've talked about that for, seemingly the last couple, 3 weeks. I think Winston is certainly a different kind of guy, a quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick is. And we talked earlier about really they're kind of void of a run game. I mean, the two top rushers who are running backs are Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones II, the rookie out of Southern Cal. I mean, it's kind of a chop 'em up type offensive system. I mean, they've got five guys with 10 or more catches. I'm going to be as interested as anybody else to see how Sunday plays out because, in all honesty, guys, I mean, this is a team that you probably should beat. But where's your confidence about yourself and how much right. momentum can you create for yourself? I'm sure a lot of people are really disappointed at the start, and I think the Falcons are too. There's no doubt about that. But Winston is a guy that if you take his will from him, he'll throw it to you. I mean, he came in that ball game in Chicago, and it wasn't long before he threw a yank there. So,
right.
let's kind of see what happens on Sunday. But I think the early possessions of the game will be pretty critical. I mean, they got two linebackers that have gotten after Ryan. I mean, Quan Alexander and Lavonte David have just been a pain in the rump for a long time here. And you remember Alexander had a breakout game here. And, that's a concern of mine. You gotta keep an eye on those two guys. And certainly the push that they're going to get from the front, regardless if they start the three of us in the secondary.
Right, because Carl, in 15 was the year that Matt had some of those picks in the middle of the field and some of that peekaboo with the linebacker in
That's
the middle
right.
jumping out. It's a good point by Wes Strewham.
Wes, where are you at, by the way, for college football this weekend?
Boston. I get Coach Petrino fresh off giving up 66 to the Jackets. He goes to Boston College this week. He goes from speed in the option to just line up and punch you in the face. So we'll see what happens at 12:30. Should be interesting. This is big ball game in the Atlantic Division in terms of who's going to fall in behind Clemson and NC State, who play next Saturday, by the way. Both schools are off this week. So
the Red Sox are already gone by the time you get up there? You get a chance to see some baseball?
No. They play game. How about this? They play game one Saturday night while I'm trying to get to the airport. That ought to work out well, don't you think?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
So you do radio. Your name's Wes Durham?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't advertise the Sunday job much in New England for obvious reasons.
That'll be $50 for you to Logan there, pal.
Hey, by the way, ACC, just real quick, and quick college football take before we let you
sure.
go. It's West Durham. We're talking Falcons and a variety of other things, guys. But, you know, you're looking at the college football playoff rankings, which are set to come out here in a couple of weeks. Clemson, obviously, is in. But when you look at Georgia.
They're in right now.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. But that's my question to you. If they get tested or don't continue to dominate, are they going to find themselves sliding out potentially? And I'm talking about Clemson.
Well, yeah. I mean, but Carl, the same thing can be said for anybody else other than Alabama at this point. And I know that's not going to be a wildly popular answer with the audience.
It's the truth.
But understand that Alabama's the only school that's built a resume strong enough right now to hold water all the way to the end if they take a loss. I mean, we started this year with Alabama, Clemson, and potentially Ohio State having a swing on the house. In other words, they could have potentially – or Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson probably with a swing on the house and still could have gotten in, right? But we didn't factor that Notre Dame's going to go to 12-0. And if Notre Dame runs the table at 12-0,
they're in.
We need to have another discussion. Yeah, they're in. I mean, because you can't take away the quality of their schedule. Everybody else, their schedule will be viewed differently than Notre Dame because most everybody else will have played in FCS or somebody else. And people say, well, the FCS shouldn't count. And this is, again, another discussion for another time. But the reality becomes that Notre Dame's power will put them in the Final Four, and then we're looking at single champions, not two from the SEC. So I'll fast forward you a quick angle here. Undefeated Georgia, undefeated Alabama at Mercedes-Benz, it might be winner-take-all. That's a possibility. We'll kind of have to see how it sets itself up once we get into November. And see, you know, because Georgia's got things left, too. I mean, they got LSU Saturday. They've got Auburn. They've got Kentucky. Games set themselves out there in the SEC. And Alabama has some work, too, just as Ohio State did 2 weeks ago at State College. And Clemson will have some work as well. The NC State game next Saturday is a very, very critical game because by then the Wolfpack might be 17 or 16 in the polls.
And as you know, man, that's a tough team. But that one is in Death Valley, though, right?
Yeah, and it's a 3:30 kick. It's not a night game. But 2 years ago, NC State missed a chip shot field goal that would have won the game and then lost in overtime. Last year, Clemson had to score on their second-to-last drive to take the lead and then get a stop on the Wolfpack to preserve a win in Raleigh. So it's not the layup that everybody, I'm sure, who doesn't follow the ACC would think it is.
Wes, thank you so much, man, as always. Have a great call this weekend. We appreciate the time. It's Wes Durham, guys, the voice of our Falcons. Coming up, we got Mike Conte.
Yeah, man. We'll see what's going on outside of our friendly confines here at the Branch. More from the Falcons. D. Led also going to join us in the 6.
Pretty busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Now, I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up, our top three at 6 as we broadcast live from Flowery Branch. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. And, again, there is a new list of locations for Hey Man L that is out. Mike and I both tweeted it out, and Oconee Brewing Company, also tweeted it. So go check that out. Right now, though, it's time for Mike Conte, in case you missed it.
You know, guys, Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we saw this firsthand on Sunday, he's an amazing football player, maybe the best wide receiver in the National Football League. I think you could really have that debate. He'd be right at the top of the list, if not at the very top. He also strikes me as kind of a weird guy. And there was the story that emerged this week about how Antonio Brown is being sued because apparently a couple months ago at his apartment in Miami, he decided in a fit of rage to throw furniture off his balcony, and he very nearly hit a toddler and killed her. And he wasn't arrested or charged with anything, but he was evicted from the apartment complex, and now he's being sued. Seems like a really, really weird story.
Well, you know, Mike, it's funny because just, you know, last week when Randy was in for Carl on Friday, Randy knew Antonio when he was a young kid playing high school ball, coming up through junior stuff in South Florida. And he said he was the nicest kid. I don't know if, like, the success has gone to his head or where this is coming from, but it's bizarro world lately.
It is. And now there's some additional details surrounding this event because TMZ has gotten a hold of some police reports. So the day before Antonio Brown allegedly threw furniture off his balcony and nearly killed a toddler, according to police reports, he returned to his apartment complex in South Florida. He had not been there for more than a week. And when he got there, he was really, really upset because he noticed that someone had taken a tote bag out of his apartment full of $80,000 in cash. And they also stole a 9mm firearm. So, I mean, I'd be upset, too. And apparently, Antonio Brown called the police. They looked at some security camera footage. There was a cleaning crew that was in his apartment the day before. The cleaning crew denies that anyone with them took it. They say other people were seen going in and out of the apartment, and that maybe is who took it. So anyhow, nothing came of that. Then Antonio Brown throws garbage and furniture off his balcony. Then the next day, police were called to his apartment again, this time by Antonio Brown. He said someone had stolen his Rolls Royce. So the cops get there. The cops get there, and they knock on the door, and Antonio Brown answers. And the cops go, hey, about that Rolls Royce that you reported stolen. And Antonio Brown goes, don't worry about it. I found it. And closed the door in the police officer's faces.
Yeah, listen. You're right. This is weird and unusual and kind of one of those things where you're starting to go, all right, what's going on inside that household? What's happening with Antonio Brown?
Now, I mean, well, again, guys, look, guys have friends, and sometimes the friends are the ones that are hanging around you. I don't know. It sounds bizarre a world to me, man.
Yeah,
it does.
This all happened in April. This is not recent. Mm-hmm. It's just coming out now. It all happened in April. Antonio Brown's representatives have not commented on any of this. And, again, he's not facing criminal charges. But, I mean, I've been angry before. I've never been inclined to throw furniture off a balcony. And if I ever were to throw furniture off the balcony, I think I'd be pretty sure to make sure I wouldn't hit a child. Cool. But this is what happened, and this is what he's being sued for right now.
Yeah, listen, you're right. Antonio Brown is one of, if not the best wide receivers. But this stuff that has circled around him off the field, Mike, is weird and unusual. And listen, Pittsburgh's had its own issues, man. Le'Veon Bell, they're still talking about trading him right now. So, you know, who knows where this goes, but I'm just going to, you know, reserve judgment to maybe wait to hear more about what happened that in April.
Antonio Brown, by the way, a historical footnote, the first ever wide receiver in NFL history to be penalized for pelvic thrusting in the end zone after a touchdown. Bet you didn't know that.
First to be penalized?
Yeah, you don't remember that?
Yeah, I didn't personally think there was anything wrong with it. I thought it was fine.
Was that twerking? Was he twerking?
He was doing like, he was kind of like doing his own kind of twerky, funky chicken thing.
It was pelvic thrusting, and I guess you could call it twerking. You could call it other things, too. But, yeah, he got a penalty for that. First ever to do that, and the legend was born. All right, in Detroit, they have, they're going into the second year now. They built a beautiful new hockey and basketball arena in downtown Detroit, Little Caesars Arena. I've actually done a game there. It is beautiful, and they did a tremendous job. The one thing that really struck me, though, about Little Caesars Arena, it was built by the Ilitch family, which owns the Red Wings, and it's very much a hockey building. And all the seats are red in there, okay? So you walk in there, it's red all around. Well, they've had a problem because the Red Wings and the Pistons aren't drawing very well. So here's a building that opened 11 months ago, and they are now ripping out all of the seats in the building, replacing them with black seats because they believe the black seats will not show up as empty as clearly on television.
Jeez. I mean, the Pistons, last when I was a kid, were red, white, and blue. They've gone to some strange uniform changes over the years. Remember the bad horse they had on there in the 90s? But still,
wait, the Red Wings are not drawn?
No.
Where they put the arena, and they thought this thing was all part of, you know, Mike, you were there. I've been there yet, but everything I read was about, you know, revitalization, the neighborhood, everything else, and why aren't?
Well,
I don't get it.
It's a work in progress, Mike.
Okay, gotcha. Transitional neighborhood. Check that, transitional neighborhood.
It's a marathon, not a sprint in that neighborhood.
Now, you got to be the first guy. Years ago, Kevin Rathbun put Rathbun's his restaurant off of Krog Street, and there was nothing there. And next thing you know, you got Krog Market and everything else and houses. So if you're going to be that homesteader, it might take a minute.
This is how committed they are to what they're doing and concealing the empty seats. And you're right, Carl. The Red Wings are not drawing, which is amazing. But the Red Wings have had attendance problems for a while. one of the most successful franchises in National Hockey League history, still very successful. Their tickets are too expensive, and that's the problem. They've had season ticket holders bail out. This is how committed they are to it. As they rip out the seats and replace them, the seats that they can't take out, they're going to cover in black sheeting. Like, they're going to put a slip cover over the seat. So, they do not want an empty red seat ever seen on television again out of a game in Detroit.
It's crazy. That's crazy. And listen, Detroit, and listen, I got friends and family that have lived there or from that area. They love their sports, man.
Yes.
And it's crazy to think that the Pistons, or for that matter, the Red Wings. The Pistons, I might understand. The Red Wings are legendary. They have brought championships to that city.
And I got to be honest, Joe Louis is the old Joe Louis Arena wasn't in the best part of town as far as I felt at the time. But, Mike, what we need now, we got to find a way to digitize people into the seats at Mercedes-Benz, who looks better on TV.
Holograms, yes.
That's right.
Only another $500 million to hologram people in the seats, I guess. See, the problem at the Benz, we've talked about it, people are in there, they just don't sit in their seats because they want to be at the clubs. That's the problem.
Yep. What's wrong with being in the club?
Nothing.
Hey, Mike Conti, great job as always,
you
man.
You come to watch the game.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, coming up, we've got our top three at six, guys. The latest on the Falcons, what Dan Quinn said, who didn't practice today. It might be a surprise to you. It's all on the way, and D. Orlando Ledbetter as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.